Hello and welcome to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks. Today we're traveling across the townships to hear three stories about leadership, heritage, and civic life in our communities. We begin in Austin, where Mayor Lizette Maillet has been acclaimed for another term. With renewed confidence from residents, she's using the occasion to outline her vision for Austin's future, a vision that balances growth with the preservation of rural character. She speaks of steady progress, community engagement, and maintaining the small-town identity that people value most. Then we move to Potton, where a piece of the past has been saved for the future. Under the leadership of Mayor Louis Veillon, the municipality stepped in to preserve one of its century-old bridges once marked for demolition. The decision followed months of advocacy from heritage supporters, including Lorraine Houillard and the Potton Heritage Association. Together, they have ensured that the bridge and the history it carries may remain part of the local landscape. And finally, we end in Lennoxville, where three councillors, Bert Collins, Claude Charron, and Frank Gilbert, were formally sworn in this week to serve their borough within the new Sherbrooke City Council. After pledging their oaths, they signed official documents, received pins, and shook hands with Mayor Marie-Claude Bibeau, marking the start of a new chapter in local representation. These stories, and the voices behind them, are coming up next. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM, brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative. I'm William Crooks. Today we turn our attention to the municipality of Austin, where Mayor Lizette Maillet has just begun her fifth mandate after being acclaimed in the November 2nd election. In this interview, recorded on November 10th, she talks about what's ahead for her community, from preserving historic buildings and protecting local lakes to encouraging affordable housing and attracting young families. We also touch on the controversial golf course file on Chemaine Fisher, which she says she cannot discuss publicly due to legal advice. Stay with us as we hear directly from Mayor Maillet about the changing face of Austin and what she believes will keep it vibrant in the years to come.
I'm up for my fifth mandate as mayor, so I have four behind me and starting a new one, and I was councillor for a mandate before that, so it's 20 years completed, going on 25. So, yes, that's, I think we've talked before. This is my village. I grew up here, my father's family, and before that. So it's kind of, tattooed on my heart.
Did the councillor team change at all this election?
We have we had two seats up for election, one because of a councillor that had resigned in April for personal and health reasons, and another one that knew that has done two mandates and knew that he wanted to not come back. So we had two open posts, and we had candidates for both, so there was an election, and we had, a low participation level, all things considered. But that's not unusual when the mayor is not up for renewal and there's no big issue, no polarizing issues. So, yeah. So we have two new ones. They're starting today. We have a first council meeting this afternoon.
What's changed over the last 20 years?
Oh, my God, what has changed over it? Well, municipalities have to be much more organized in the way of planning. It's not just a matter of, the day-to-day thing anymore, or it shouldn't be. So the planning for the long term, for small municipalities, of course, the big ones always had to do that, but it wasn't so present when I started way back. So better organization, better planning, and, of course, everything that has fallen onto our lap by the government. Everything about the environment, everything about just the governing system, all in all, the way the contracts are given and new responsibilities. I was talking this morning about, the dangerous dog things and so on. There's so many things that add up all the time. The heritage committee, the heritage buildings that we will have to take into account starting in 2026. And so on. There's so many things that fall onto our laps, and it's kind of a always renewing. It's not just the one thing. There's always more, and there's always changes in what has been set. So that's, it is more encompassing than it used to be, and much more, well, regulated, definitely. And the other thing that has changed is the citizens' approach to the municipality. There are more. They want more information, which is legitimate on one hand, and then everything about, you know, the law and the personal protection, protection of personal information. So there's a lot of requests for access to information that goes on and on and on. So administratively, that's changed a lot. Yeah.
What heritage buildings are you talking about?
Well, there's the loi sur la protection du patrimoine. That's a new law that came in, a couple of years ago. And we have 2 years to prepare a list of the heritage buildings, of the buildings that were built before 1940 on the whole territory. And then we have to go through this inventory that was made and decide or propose to the government what we think is real heritage and what isn't. And so this has to be done before April 2026. So this is this type of thing where, you know, the government tells us we have to do this, and I agree, we have to protect our heritage. But will that, with that will not necessarily come the money to do the things that need to be done with it. So we'll have to adopt a bylaw for mandatory maintaining of the buildings. And so people that are not fortunate or that don't have much money will have new regulations or new laws as to how they can do things, what they can modify in the building, and so on and so forth. And so if the money doesn't come with that, it's going to be difficult for many, many citizens. And, of course, the municipalities will not be able to give handouts to this citizen or that citizen, because usually that's not allowed. And where do we draw the line, you know, what is important, what isn't important, and beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and so on. So it's going to be a big thing coming up in 2026.
Are there any developments on the invasive species issue in Austin's water bodies?
Well, there's a lot of awareness campaigns being made by the associations themselves where, you know, most of our lakes are private lakes. And so there's a lot of awareness campaigns being done, and we help financially with we have a green fund that we give money to associations to do, you know, to take different measures in order to protect their water, le plan d'eau, their lake. At the MRC level, we're working on optimization of water boats, washing stations, so that all of us around Nefer Magog, but the same thing also applies to MSLVP and Lovering and Lake Magog, but individually per lake, we're trying to put in place a system where everybody's going to have the same system to wash the boats and to put their boats in the water. So, you know, it will be like you can wash, for example, in one place and go put your boat somewhere else because it's easier, because it's closer to your house and whatnot. Not all municipalities, I, for one, don't have a washing station, and we'd like people to go and wash their boats. So, you know, do it in collaboration with other municipalities and towns. And this, if all goes well, should be put in place in 26, at the end of 26, more than likely. And then everybody, all the access, the main accesses to the lake will be monitored 24/7. So we'll have gates that will be automated and so on, so people will have to have their cards. Because as it is now, it's a lot of, it's like, what do you call that in English, in patois? Like a sieve. You know, we in Austin had somebody at our boat launch 20 hours a week or so, 25 hours a week. So, you know, fishermen would come earlier than the person was there, or on weekends where we're not always there, or so on, or waiting for the guard to leave at 5, so they would put their boats in at 6, and so we wouldn't be able to control, really, if their boats were washed or not. So now it's all going to be a system of automated gates And so when the gate is down, if you don't have your card showing that you washed your boat, you're not going to be able to go in. So this is going to be a big thing for the whole lake.
Is there an update on the alleged Chemin Fisher golf course issue?
We were asked and told by our lawyers that we should not comment on the file anymore because, again, what I was mentioning earlier, protection of privacy. So, you know, we can't go in the public place and say what we've done and what we've not done and what we're doing. So, can't comment on that.
Are there any other challenges that are facing the Austin community today?
Well, our population is not getting any younger, so we would like to draw, as many other municipalities in the area, draw some young families. So in order to do that, we are, you know, modernizing and upgrading our park. We'll have water games for kids, and we'll have a zone for teenagers and so on to make it more attractive. We have a developer that's doing that right in the heart of the village, has divided the lot into 24 lots. Planning to start, started selling some lots, so hopefully that will lift over the next couple of years. The municipality has purchased a lot a number of years ago, about less than a kilometer away from the heart of the village, and we're hoping to develop that into with the MRC and other municipalities in a trust land trust model, so that we can afford. We can offer more affordable housing. That's going to be a big thing because, well, we're all talking about housing everywhere. So that's going to be a big plus. Working with the MRC, developing a landscape enhancement project so that people are aware that, you know, we live in a beautiful area and we have to take the means to protect the area. Not put a, you know, what they call a glass bell over the whole thing and say, let's not change anything, but be aware. So we're working with the MRC on that. That's a really nice project coming up. And what else? Working with the MRC, again, we're in a strategic plan at the MRC in trying to focus on things that are more important to the communities that form it. And we would really like to be able to develop the heart of the village, the commercial end of it, so that, you know, we benefit from the 200-odd visitors that go to San Benoit du Lac every year, you know, make them stop by at our cafe or restaurant or things like that so that there's an attraction for outsiders but also for our own people, a place to gather and have a coffee and meet, which is what we're doing with the church. Of course, we bought the church 2 years ago. It's developing into a real drawing place for people to come up and have their shows. There's all kinds of workshops and activities. So develop that as well so that people, the territory is big, 86 square kilometers. So we'd like people to be able to, you know, say this is the heart of the village, this is the heart of the community, and attract them more to make sure that, you know, it's dynamic and vibrant. So that's the plan.
Anything else?
One of the difficulties, of course, remains staffing. We have excellent staff, but, you know, when comes a time when somebody leaves, and it gets more and more difficult to hire in the communities, in the small municipalities, because, attraction, for one, is difficult. Working with citizens is not always easy either. So that remains a constant, preoccupying thought, I'd say. Not that we're in trouble. We've managed to hire. we had two major posts that people left, and we managed to fill them quite, you know, we're really happy with the results. But it's always there. You know, if somebody leaves, it gets difficult to hire the right people and to attract young people also come and work in small municipalities. So it's a little bit of a challenge, but we're all right. But it's for everybody else. Because other municipalities live it too.
That was Austin Mayor Lizette Maillet speaking with the Pulse of the Eastern Townships about her new term in office and the priorities shaping her community's future. From heritage conservation and lake stewardship to affordable housing and youth engagement, she says the goal is to balance growth while preserving Austin's rural character. I'm William Crooks, and this has been the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM, made possible through the Local Journalism Initiative. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM, brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative. I'm William Crooks. Today, we bring you an update on a story that stirred hearts in Potton. The Pont de la Francière, a 129-year-old covered bridge that once faced demolition, has been given a second chance. After months of uncertainty, Potton's council and the province have agreed to move the historic structure to a nearby temporary site, while its future is decided. I spoke with Lorraine Rouillard, president of the Potton Heritage Association, who shared the latest developments, her cautious optimism, and what still needs to be done to save this cherished local landmark. Let's listen.
The news, the bridge has been saved, but that's all we have right now.
What happened at the council meeting on November 10th?
What the mayor said last night is that the bridge will be moved on a temporary site, somewhere close to where it is now. And once it's moved, then he's thinking of having a public consultation to see what the population is willing to do. to really protect the bridge and give it a meaning, and then create maybe a committee or get a group of people to get together to raise money to finance the work that will need to be done on the bridge. So that's about it. And then, of course, yes, the Heritage Association will certainly be willing to work in collaboration with the town on that, on the fundraising and on the deciding what will be done with it. You know, will it become some kind of a interpretation center? But all of this is, I'm not confirmed yet. These are the ideas that were coming out last night.
Wasn't the bridge previously designated as too dangerous to move?
Well, I think it's still the engineer that has been selected to destroy the bridge, to demolish it, was present last night at the town council meeting. And what he said is that, yes, he was hired and going to be paid to destroy the bridge. So he has no idea himself what they will be able to do to try to move it, because nobody knows. Even the mayor and myself, we talked about it. We don't know if it's in such a bad condition, will it fall apart when they try to move it? It is a possibility. We don't know. What the engineer said is that they probably won't be able to move it in one piece. They might have to dismantle it, and it will have to be reconstructed after, so we don't know.
Who is going to pay for the temporary move? The municipality of Potton?
No, the MTQ is going to pay for it.
Mayor Louis Veillon called them up and convinced them to do it.
Yeah, they had a meeting last Friday. Mind you, you can ask the mayor to confirm that. But that was my understanding, that, and then from what he said last night, too, it seems that because the MTQ was going to pay for the demolition, so they'll still pay for for the moving. Well, the moving to the temporary site, then after it will have to be moved again if it's decided to move it into town. So that they won't pay. So that's where the fundraising comes.
You must be very pleased.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's a good news, but at the same time, I feel that it could be a bittersweet news because it might become a bigger problem to try to move it and do something with it. But we'll see.
That was Lorraine Rouillard of the Potton Heritage Association, speaking about the uncertain but hopeful future of the Pont de la Frontière. The bridge, a powerful symbol of Potton's history, will soon be moved to safety while the community decides what comes next. Fundraising and public consultation are expected to follow, with the Heritage Association ready to help lead the charge. We reached out to Mayor Louis Veillon for comment but received no response before broadcast. For the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM, I'm William Crooks. This is the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative. Tonight we bring you sounds and voices from Sherbrooke City Hall, where the new Municipal Council, serving from 2025 to 2029, was officially sworn in. The ceremony opened in French with Alexandra Lapierre from Sherbrooke's Communications Department welcoming councillors, families, and guests. Bonsoir à toutes et tous. Voici votre nouveau conseil municipal, she said, welcoming the newly elected council and reminding everyone at the evening marked, quote, a significant moment in Sherbrooke's democratic life.
La sermentation marque un moment d'engagement officiel des personnes élues envers leur communauté. C'est un engagement à la fois à servir, à écouter, à décider et à agir pour le bien commun. C'est un moment solennel qui rappelle la confiance que les citoyens et les citoyennes leur ont confiée.
Lapierre explained that each councillor would be called one by one to swear an oath to serve with honesty and justice, to follow the law and the municipal code of ethics, and to sign the city's official register before receiving the councillor's pin. Family members filled the gallery, cell phones ready. One by one, Sherbrooke's 20 councillors took the oath, shook hands with Mayor Marie-Claude Bibeau, and posed for photos. Among them were three familiar faces from Lennoxville: Bert Collins, now borough president; Claude Charron, returning as councillor for the Uplands District; and Frank Gilbert, newly elected in Fairview. All three stood to repeat the same pledge: to carry out their duties faithfully, honestly, and in accordance with the city's ethical code. It was a quiet but powerful moment of continuity for Lennoxville within the broader Sherbrooke Council.
Maintenant, dans l'arrondissement de Lennoxville, du district de Lennoxville, il fait un retour au conseil municipal, le conseiller Bertrand Collins.
When Collins' name was called, applause rippled through the chamber. He rose, placed his hand on the text before him, and declared,
Je me recommande dans ce serment que je respecte, que je exercerai mes fonctions de conseiller municipal avec honnêteté et justice dans le respect de la loi et du code d'éthique et de déontologie des élus municipaux de la ville de Sherbrooke et que je m'engage à respecter les règles de ce code applicables après la fin de la loi.
In English, Collins' words translate roughly as, I, Bertrand Collins, solemnly declare that I'll perform my duties as city councillor with honesty and justice, respecting the law and the code of ethics and conduct of elected officials of the city of Sherbrooke. Moments later, he signed the registry and shook the mayor's hand, officially taking office as Lennoxville's new borough president. Claude Charron and Frank Gilbert followed, each repeating the same pledge. Charron, a veteran of city politics, returns as a regular councillor after years as borough president, while Gilbert joins the table for the first time. Together with Collins, they'll represent Lennoxville's interests at Sherbrooke City Hall for the next 4 years. The evening ended with applause, a group photo, and a wine reception in the Hall of Honor. From Sherbrooke City Hall, this is William Crooks for the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. Stay tuned and keep your finger on the pulse. You've been listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. Today's program offered a window into how the region's communities are shaping their future while honoring their past. In Austin, Mayor Lizette Maillet's acclamation signaled continued trust and stability. Her focus on thoughtful development and civic collaboration points to a town confident in its direction. In Potton, Mayor Louis Veillon's decision to preserve a historic bridge stood as a practical act of stewardship, supported by the Potton Heritage Association, whose advocacy helped bring local heritage to the forefront of municipal action. It's a small victory, but one that speaks volumes about what can happen when officials and citizens pull together. And in Lennoxville, the former swearing-in of Collins, Charon, and Gilbert reminded listeners that even routine ceremonies carry symbolic weight. Each oath reaffirms a commitment to serve, a quiet promise that keeps local democracy alive and well. Across these stories runs a common current of engagement, elected leaders guiding, residents caring, and communities taking ownership of their future. I'm William Crooks. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay curious, stay involved, and keep your finger on the pulse of the Eastern Townships. Today's music was brought to you by Johann Sebastian Bach.